Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yes, it's early in the year, but Kansas City, remarkable in September, has just beaten a team, Dana Hughes, that had won 14 consecutive regular season games. Lamar Jackson's only lost four games now as a starter, three of the four to the Kansas City Chiefs. And they get the victory 34-20 over the Baltimore Ravens.
And that's where we begin. Last night's Kansas City win over the Baltimore Ravens and what it means for the New England Patriots this week. Simple as that. Felger and Mabb here on Tuesday, September 29th from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Myself, Anthony, Big Jim Murray, Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny. Fully loaded program. Fully loaded, Mabb, I should say.
Yeah.
Because the big boy's here as well.
Yep, big boy.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joins us on the Zoom connection. So I'll start with a simple question, fellas. And folks, we can talk football the next 2 hours with Greg. So you can join us at any point in the next 2 hours. 617-779-0985. Any football question you got, Greg's the guy. Can the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Greg, playing bully ball, which you've been talking about since the summer, since training camp, how this Patriots team is going to win, how they're constructed, how they've played so far this year outside of that Seattle game, which we'll get to in a second, but can they beat the Kansas City Chiefs playing that ground game, the ball control, bully ball that you've talked about?
Right now, Michael, I don't think so. Not in week four. Now, do I think that they could do it in the postseason? Possibly. I think they would have a better chance. I just don't think that the passing offense in terms of timing.
Well, hold on. I'm not talking about the passing game. I'm talking about the thing you're talking about, bully
ball. Yeah, but you need both.
Okay, I mean, well, so hold on. Well, now, I mean, now you're changing the question. So you're saying you just can't go in there and push them around? Bully them around and you're 250 yards running the ball, control the clock. Here's a novel bit of football analysis that you won't hear at all this week. Keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. Like, is there a more outdated, cliched bit of football analysis than that? I'm being half sarcastic here, Greg. Forget the passing game. You can't just go
as
in there
you're prone to do.
Control the ball and keep them off the field and win that way?
That's going to be part of the plan, yeah. And I think you could actually get into a circumstance because we've seen – I don't think the Patriots have played a snap of base defense this year. I'm not even sure they have the personnel to play base defense. I wouldn't be surprised because we've seen all nickel and dime from them. I would not be surprised if at some point – and maybe they hold this for the postseason. I don't know. But the Patriots take the field with four defensive linemen and eight defensive backs just to be like, fine, you guys want to throw against us and all these defensive backs, go nuts. But we're giving you the run because we want you to run because we need to shorten the game against you.
So I bet you they do approach it that way. Of course, you know, just because I'm a wise ass, they'll be call for too many men on the field if they have 12, Greg. 4-8 is 12.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Felger and Mabb's math.
Yep.
4-7.
We suck you right into our world. I didn't even catch that.
Seriously. No, yeah, but that would be 12. Of course, Belichick would find a way to cheat and get the 12th guy on the field.
Well, they tried a few times, but they had to take timeouts on Sunday.
So look, if Kansas City, it's going to require Kansas City to be complicit, is your point. You're going to have to make the mistake that Peyton Manning made years ago when he came into Foxborough and just kept handing the ball off. And who was the guy? No, Sean Moreno ran for 200 yards or something and Denver lost the game, right? It was something to that effect, if I remember right. So pure bully ball, it can work for a half.
Yeah.
It can work for a half. It worked for a half in the AFC Championship game. And then in the second half, Kansas City went bananas on you, and you ultimately had to throw to win the game. And so now, look, the irony is that the last time they played, the game was the lowest scoring of the three with Mahomes at quarterback. Kansas City won the game. They beat you here last year 23-16. So, you know, it's going to require Kansas City to be complicit.
I just find the approaches against Kansas City interesting. You know, the thing that I just said, I mock it because I feel like it is outdated and cliche to say, keep him off the field. Like every, you know, ex-NFL offensive lineman who's on TV or radio is going to say that. Like, I got it, big boy. Like, I got it. You run the ball. Like, okay. So, like, but you do have to do some of that, and you do. And I think when the Patriots won the AFC title game in Kansas City a couple of years ago, there was an element to that, for sure.
First half.
Yeah, you know, it was. But I don't think you can win the game purely doing that. The whole other approach is just to try to go in there and put up 40 points and have it turn to, like, a basketball game or a lacrosse game where you're just trying to get one stop and one turnover is the difference, and that's it. And you win the game that way. Ideally, obviously, it's sort of a blend. But the question, you know, so I guess here's my question. I don't think just bully ball, controlling the clock, running the I don't think you can do it that way.
It's not enough.
San Francisco got close in the Super Bowl. Like, they tried that. It's just ultimately you got to make plays. You got to put points on the board.
The Chiefs and what Tony brought up about the approach that the Patriots had last year. Remember, Mahomes had that knee injury that he was out with, and he really wasn't the same player. Probably not until the postseason that we saw, like, the MVP type Pat Mahomes, the guy that we see out there right now. The Patriots got a lesser version of Mahomes last year. He wasn't very sharp for the rest of the regular season once he came back. He certainly had his moments, but he wasn't as consistently outstanding as he has been this season. So I think that factored into it.
Okay, absolutely. So then the question is the Patriots passing game good enough, which is what you were starting to say before I interrupted you. But now let's go back to this. Is Cam Newton in the passing game good enough?
No. Nope. And we now know, look, they're not terrible. And I think Sunday was a bad day. But now with further evidence, we know that the Seahawks game was completely fool's gold. We're talking about that is the worst pass defense in the first three games in NFL history. They just surpassed the 2011 Patriots with Sergio Brown and Barrett and just a terrible secondary. That the Seahawks secondary is worse than that one. And so whatever they did in Seattle is now null and void, and now we need to look at them in a different light.
What'd you see from Newton on Sunday?
He was not good. He was terrible. The first half was one of the worst I've seen out of a Patriots quarterback. Brady certainly had terrible games. The one in Buffalo last year was awful. I don't have a ready reason on why he was bad on Sunday. But I don't want to make it all terrible, because I do think the 27-yarder that he threw to Harry in the second half, when he was there was pressure, it was a great throw along the sideline. He got belted. Like, that's the type of play that they're going to need more out of. So at least we saw it. But there were just about every third down in that game, Cam Newton was making terrible decisions. The first one, I didn't have a huge problem with it. Maybe Jacoby Myers was a little bit more open, but the interception play was one of the worst plays I've ever seen a quarterback make.
It was a pretty bad throw.
Strong statement there.
Well, it wasn't just the throw. Like, if you look at the coach's film, first of all, he had two checkdowns ready right off the bat. He could have just checked it down. They maybe could have. It was Burkhead and somebody else. They could have gotten it. He also had, and I can't tell on the game film, it might have been Damier Bird. Somebody was streaking down the left sideline wide open. I mean, no one, they were behind the defense. There wasn't anybody there. Fine, be that as it may. Then he rolls out. He has the two checkdowns there again. He doesn't throw. Then he tries to avoid pressure, which he does a great job of. And then when he gets rid of it, he throws it to Edelman with a bunch of people around him. And right behind Edelman is Devin Asiasi with no one around him. If he throws it to Asiasi, he probably goes for a touchdown. So there were like eight different decisions on that play that were bad, and the interception throw was almost the least of them.
Maybe he hates the tight ends the way that Brady did. maybe that's why he didn't throw to Asiasi.
He seemed to be ignoring them on Sunday.
So are the Patriots ready to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes in Kansas City? Of course not. Okay, so like that's sort of a rhetorical question. Is there a path to victory? You know,
sure,
that blend of the two things of you keep Mahomes off the field just long enough, because you can run the ball, you let them run, you know, thus keeping the score down. Like that's what the running game does. It keeps the score down. And then can Newton make enough plays in the second half to pull it out? Is that the path to victory?
Yeah, they're going to have to mix it up. They're going to have to use the running game to open up plays in the passing game. They're going to have to do that because I just don't think it's enough. I mean, I think generally speaking, it's a hard way to win against an explosive offense. It's not impossible, but it's hard.
You got to hope Mahomes screws up somehow.
Well, right. Like, the famous one, Mike, as you know, is the Giants Super Bowl against the K-Gun offense of the Bills. And that was 20-19, I think that game was, but it required a missed field goal at the end for them to pull it off. So the Giants held the ball for 40 minutes in that game, and they still had to cross their fingers at the end and see if they won it. So, and the year the Patriots played without Brady, they went to Indianapolis with Matt Castle at quarterback. If I remember right,
that was a great game.
They dominated the line of scrimmage, and they lost like 18-15.
Who was the chucklehead? Dave Thomas, the tight end, jumped offsides, or a personal foul.
Yeah,
or
it was a personal foul. I mean, but it was they lost. It was close, but they lost.
I can go back and remember individual games from 08. And I can't remember more than three things that happened last year. This is a condition I've talked about before.
Sure, of course.
This is an aside. But because it got so freaking boring here with Tom Brady, you know, the automatic 12-4, and the games just sort of blended together. That's totally an aside. How do you feel about the Patriots' defense, Greg?
How do I feel about their defense?
It's not a trick question. Not very complicated.
Well, I didn't expect it because you were talking all Chiefs and offense. So settle down a little bit. I don't know. I guess I feel okay about it. It just it depends on what the opponent is going to do. Like, I don't know why John Gruden stopped running the ball on Sunday. Like, the Patriots are not playing base defense. They line up. The Raiders came out with 13 personnel, running back and three tight ends, and the Patriots answered that with nickel and dime all day. Like, just run against it. You're pushing them all over the place in the middle. Why are you dropping back Derek Carr to not throw to open people? Like, I just don't understand it. So it depends. Against a good offense and a good coordinator, I don't like their chances just because they can't beat you defensively in multiple ways. It's really one way. You have to get a lead. The other team has to be able to throw the ball and throw to your secondary, which is your strength. If you get into an even matchup or you're behind, the defense has a tough time stopping people.
Okay, big boy here for the next 2 hours. He'll be ready to go. The thorniest of questions he'll have answers for right off the top, like, how do you feel about the defense? 617-779-0985. When we come back, we're going to hear from Marcus Spears on ESPN. He's talking about Lamar Jackson and the Chiefs, but is he also talking about you? It might as well he be talking about you, but we can talk about last night's game, this week's game, Patriots Chiefs. There's a little COVID situation across the league that sort of cropped its heads up. It's head up anything you have on the Patriots, by all means. 617-779-0985. More right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Lamar Jackson will not win these games if the Ravens don't develop him as a passer. That was the point I was making. If the Baltimore Ravens are going to win a Super Bowl and Lamar Jackson is going to continue to ascend, He's going to have to operate from the pocket. Lamar Jackson said it. I'm not playing Patrick Mahomes. I'm playing their defense. No, you're playing Patrick Mahomes because 9 times out of 10, he's going to take a lead and dictate what you have to do offensively to win the game. They've been drunk on success of having everybody tight to the line of scrimmage, being able to run these exotic type run situations, send two people out in a route, and they wide open because everybody's concerned about the run. Well, guess who ain't going to be concerned about that? The Chiefs. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes going to put up a 40 burger, usually, on any defense, especially the ones that blitz a lot. I rest my case.
So that was Marcus Spears again on ESPN, one I just mentioned. Maz, that caught your ear. Why?
Because I think he's dead on. I think he's right. I think that it only gets you so far to be able to run the ball. And I especially like the part where he says, you know, you're told it's not Mahomes against Jackson. Yeah, it is. It is. Sorry, it is. I know it's not head-to-head. They're out there on the, it's not like they're arm wrestling at the 50-yard line. I get it. But at the end of the day, if you are the quarterback of the team going against Patrick Mahomes, you got to go in knowing, I got to play my best. We have to put 30 up or we're going to lose. Like, I just hate the whole pretense of it's not like we're actually playing their defense. Shut up. Shut up with that crap. I hate that. Good God. No, you're playing the quarterback on the other side. You know what the standard is. You got to live up to it. That's the deal. And I just think it's a, you know, it's a hard way to win to just hand the ball off all the time.
I remember the stat line like last night. They're never going to be able to beat the Chiefs that way. 97 passing yards for Lamar Jackson. He was bit in the ass by some drops by the tight end Andrews. I think he had like 3 or 4 of them. Like, the team was sloppy. But you've got to be able to air it out against Kansas City or you're not going to beat them.
97 passing yards is a joke. That's an embarrassment is what that is. That's an embarrassment. And I would say in this day and age, anything under 250 is a joke. You should be able to throw for 250 every week. That's 4,000 yards a year at a minimum. At a minimum. With the way the league is now, oh, please, 97 yards. You're going anywhere with that. And how about that stat on Lamar Jackson? He is, in his career now, he is 21-6 as a starter. 3 of his losses are to Mahomes. 2 are in the playoffs. So anytime he goes up against a good quarterback, I'm sort of adding, I'm not even, you know, I know in the playoffs it was Ryan Tannehill in one of them. They lose. Why is that?
Well, you tell me. Big boy, you tell me. You a believer in that Ravens offense, the way they run it with Lamar Jackson right now?
Not if they get behind. No. I mean, you know, they got to play even up. You know, it's tough against those high-powered teams. I was just thinking about, you know, it surprised me that Spagnuolo, when the Ravens were trying to come back last night, I mean, he was going zero blitz on like every down. Like it was almost like he was trying to wear out Lamar Jackson. Cause then he pulled off, I think it was on third down, and he got blitz, all out blitz like 3 times in a row. And then he backed off on third down and Jackson was just off. It looks like they're trying to, it's very odd that you see in the NFL a team try to affect just, you know, one player. Because you normally in football, it's all 11 players and you need to defend the whole scheme. But with the Ravens, it's almost like you just have to focus in on Lamar Jackson. And if you could short circuit him, you just short circuit the entire thing. And of course, Harbaugh has no answers ever for anything.
I mean, I just think, and it is instructive because you now have one of these types of offenses. You're not going to do everything that Baltimore does, and Lamar Jackson is more explosive than Cam Newton, and Newton is more physical, and Newton's going to run more in short yardage. And so I'm not telling you it's apples to apples, but it is you are much closer to this thing now than you've ever been, and there is a ceiling to it.
Absolutely,
there is a ceiling. You have to, you know, you have to step back and behind the line of scrimmage in the pocket complete passes, and that you have to be able to do it when the money's on the table, mm-hmm. or else it's. There are examples where you can do it without it. You know, but I think those are the aberrations. I think the Broncos that last year with Peyton Manning or Trent Dilfer, you know, the crappy quarterbacks that have won, every now and then a crappy quarterback slips through. But for the most part, you got to be able to execute in the passing game.
And I, look, in retrospect, I mean, obviously that's where you were trying to lead me. I knew I had mentioned it in the email this morning, but I got my head up my ass over here, clearly. So not that that's anything new, but this is who the Patriots are now. So Baltimore had to go up against. I just, you know, and this, it applies this whole idea of you're not, well, you know, Cam Newton's not playing Patrick Mahomes. He's playing the other. No, no, he is playing Patrick Mahomes. He is. The Patriots have to throw to beat this team. They're going to have to throw to beat good teams.
And there's a shelf life to the running thing. That's all I'm saying. And there's going to come a time. This is why I get the most excited over the pocket stuff that Cam Newton does. I don't care about the running. I mean, it's productive and it's going to keep defenses honest and it's fun to watch. And I get it all. But I get far more interested when he just takes a snap, stays in the pocket, behind center, between the tackle boxes. Footwork's right, the release is good, and he hits Edelman on a route that they drew up, and like that to me is, that's what you're going to need to do. Even in that first Miami game, I remember they came out in that third quarter and they did that. I'm like, okay, this is what we're talking about. And then in Seattle, he threw a bunch of passes from the pocket, conventional passing game. That's what's going to do it.
And you know what Miami and Seattle are? The two worst pass defenses in the league in terms of giving up yards per attempt.
How's Kansas City?
Kansas City's been pretty good, actually. They're in the top five at defensive passer rating, and they've allowed among the fewest yards in the league in the air.
What do you think this week, Murray? Early prediction.
Oh, I think Kansas City's going to roll. I think Kansas City's going to stomp them.
The Pats are going to get curb stomped this week.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a little bit of a reckoning, too, with all the talk of we should extend Cam Newton, and it's like that's going to come back down to earth because I think it feels a little bit premature. It's been a nice story so far. It's been encouraging. It's been very interesting, but it's a bit much right now. Like, sign him up, lock him up. Like, let's just see. Everyone pump the brakes.
I mean, again, Mike, let's go back to that AFC Championship game where the Patriots went in there with Brady and they ran it down Kansas City's throat in the first half.
And then in a matter of like 3 minutes, it was a tie game.
Right. Kansas City that year scored 62 points against the Patriots in the second half. In the second halves of the two games. So ultimately, what did the Patriots have to do to win it? Brady had to get hot as a firecracker in the fourth quarter in overtime and go 10 for 10 on third down or whatever the hell it was. I mean, you know, he was, you know, I think he was 10 for 10 at the end of the fourth quarter in overtime total. Five of them on third down. Third and 10.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, he was insane. And that's what you're going to need to beat Kansas City. You need that.
Okay, I promise. Your thoughts. I'm sorry. Leave you hanging. Our guy Tony's in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
I got to tell you something, guys. The season is over. Let me explain why. The next three games will be lucky to go 1-2. The next six games will be lucky to go 2-4. And then they're going to face the two teams from the West, the NFC West.
Okay, well, you know what, Tony? Greg Bedard actually wrote something just like this on his website, Boston Sports Journal. You should give it a read, a subscription. He says, we don't know if the Patriots will emerge from November with a winning record. Like, oof, you have a losing record after November? He says, the Broncos and Jets will be layups. The Chiefs, Niners, Bills, Ravens, Texans, and Cardinals will be all tractor pulls. And so we add that up, Murph and Sully over here. You want us to play the game real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Kansas City this week.
Loss.
2-2. Home Denver.
Win.
3-2. Bye week.
Yeah.
Then on the 25th, home San Francisco.
Loss.
Win.
The revenge of Jimmy G. We had the guy, Mike. Yeah.
Are they starting Mullins? I might give him a win there, but if it's Garoppolo, it's a loss. I mean, Kyle Shanahan.
It's a loss.
They're
going to lose to the Niners.
So I'm confused who's who now. The Patriots winning or losing against the Niners?
Losing.
I say win.
But I break the tie.
Yep.
Okay. Then now we're back to 3-3. I had them 4-2. 3-3. They lose at home to Jimmy G. At Buffalo, November 1st.
Loss.
Win.
Loss.
Okay. 3-4. I lose. At Jets on Monday night.
Win. Oh,
God, 4-4.
Unless Gase gets fired, then it might be close.
Home Baltimore, November 15th. Loss.
Loss.
Jesus. Win. At Houston on the 22nd.
Win.
5-5.
Tough game now.
Home Arizona the 29th of November.
Win.
Loss.
Okay, so this is what Greg's talking about. You're 6-5, 5-16 based on your scientific calculations there.
Yeah, look, I think that I'll tell you, this is sort of related. The games to me that I'm most interested in seeing are the Buffalo games.
Okay.
Those are the ones I'm most interested in seeing.
They're not losing two straight out of the bye. They're going to win either home San Fran or at Buffalo. Not surprised if it's both. And they're not going to lose at Houston, home Arizona. So you guys are undershooting the team, which is fine. Which is fine. I understand that. Meanwhile, we've reviewed the film and gone over the clipboard information. Patriots, Raiders, 3-3 down. Coming your way right after Murray's update.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3-Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And 3-Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-Up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
3-Down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, time to grade the Raiders and Patriots. It's what we call 3 up, 3 down. Used to do this in the Herald. Everyone does this. 3 stars, 3 studs, 3 duds.
Yeah.
Studs and duds. That's what we used to do in the Herald.
Yep, studs and duds.
Okay. Oh, you guys are so crafty over there at the Herald. So smart.
Okay, great.
No, I mean, we were. I think Kevin Manick started the whole thing with the report card. So, yes, we were ahead of the game, as usual.
As you're right. We were forerunners, trailblazers.
Anyway, who's your number one star for this game there, Greg?
Rex Burkhead. I thought he changed the game with his playmaking ability, his speed. You know, I know you're a big J.J. Taylor guy, and he certainly helped. But I think that Burkhead overall was the best playmaker for the Patriots. And, you know, he filled his role great. You know, he's a backup on this team. When it called upon, he answered the bell. And he did a great job.
Well, it's staggering that he actually picked a conventional skill position player and not a fat guy in front of him.
I was just about to say the same thing because I chose a fatty.
Wow.
How about that? The big Tooney. Big Tooney, man. Joe Tooney, your guy, Greg. Bump him over to center. I told you my initial reaction was, is this Belichick just, you know, playing with himself for crying out loud, telling everybody this is why I franchised Tooney because I can move him to center. And then that left side of the line, the combo, good. They were good. And Tooney was a big reason.
Second star, Greg.
Tooney. He allowed 0 pressures in the game. His first game at center looked like a natural. You didn't even notice him really out there. And actually, my question coming out of this game was, why the hell didn't they do this last year? Why did we go through the Ted Karras thing with the running game and the lack of athletic ability? Like, they had Illuminor on the roster last year. They had Corey Cunningham on the roster last year. Why not move Tooney? That obviously now we know that was a mistake.
Nice.
Oh, great point, Greg.
It turns a positive into a negative. We could not have done that better ourselves.
Seriously. Perfect. I wonder if you were raised at the Herald too deep down, Greg. That was a great one. I went Burkhead, and I couldn't give a rat's ass about the 3 touchdowns. He had the most touches, 13 touches among skilled players, and he was good on just about every one of them. And that, to me, tells me what a back who can run and catch can do in this offense with Cam Newton at quarterback.
Thus, again, turning a positive into a negative. That's a commentary on you-know-who.
Sony.
Who was your third star there, Greg?
You're going to get on me, but I couldn't decide between Wise and Calhoun. They were basically the same guy. They own the offensive tackles in the Raiders this game. Wise basically just smacked around Colton Miller, their left tackle. So did Winovich. It looked like they had a game plan to get into Colton Miller's chest, and they just shoved that left tackle around all game. It was great.
I have no problem with that.
I went with Onwenu.
I thought their edge pressure was good. Go ahead. I'm sorry, but you took an offensive line.
I did. I went with Onwenu. I thought that their ability to run the game was the key to the whole game, and that left side I thought was really, really good. That kid can play. He's pretty good. I don't know if he's great, but he's pretty good. He's been a good pickup.
Yeah, he can play. He's good. He's not Pro Football Focus best left guard in football good, which is what they had because their ratings are ridiculous.
So again, this is something only Greg would get agitated by. Pro Football Focus's rating on a guard. Can I just make one point on this?
All right. They have him as a run blocking grade of 83.6. His pass blocking grade in this game was a 73.9. And apparently that adds up to an overall grade of 86.7. I want that math.
Okay. I did not invite more commentary on the guard. I was trying to get less and
more.
Move on.
Yes,
now. Okay. Duds, 3 duds. Who's your number one dud for the Patriots?
Cam Newton. He was not good in this game. He was basically luggage for at least a half in this game. They can't that can't go on. I think it was just a bad day, but and Brady certainly has had bad days, but they can't have many more of them.
Juwan Bentley, I just the Patriots have the worst middle linebacker in football. He blows.
Pretty bad.
He does. I'll tell you what. Watch the play where Jacobs fumbles and the Patriots end up recovering. Watch how late Bentley comes into the picture.
Okay, well, but is it fair when there's so many defensive backs on the field and he's the only guy and it's like, I don't know. Is he put in a position to succeed, Greg?
Well, no. And it's not just with, you know, he's got Adrian Phillips next to him and Kyle Duggar. And then actually they had to put in one underrated thing in this game was Terrence Brooks was basically the box safety in the second half. And that helped because he's tougher. He's a good tackler. He's a veteran. But not only that, with the secondary on the field but also up front, like a good middle linebacker, show me a good little middle linebacker who has crappy defensive tackles. It doesn't happen. You know, Lawrence Guy is great. We all know he's great. But the other side has just been terrible. And overall, between that spot and the secondary, they're basically the lollipop guild out there. They have one of the smallest defenses in the league. And I'm glad they're fast, but more physical teams are going to shove them around.
Okay, so that was just trying to get
Bentley's not fast.
It's just trying to give him a little bit of a break, Maz. You're not a fan of this.
No, I look again. I loved him his first year. I thought there was potential there. I just now I am so down on Bentley. It's not even funny.
Second dud, Greg.
Bentley. Yeah,
he's go ahead.
And we pretty much just laid out the reasons. So
go ahead.
He's glacial.
Second dud for you.
Stephon Gilmore. I'm getting tired of this every week. And I don't care if it's just one play or what. He's you know, one of the highest paid players at his position in the league. He's the most talented player on that defense. They're going up against a high powered offense this week. It's a penalty or a touchdown, it seems like, every week. You're 3 weeks in. When do we start seeing it? I'm getting tired of it. And again, not that he cares or anyone else cares. He's got to play better. He's better than that.
Third dud, Gregory.
Devin Asiasi. He actually played this week, but judging from Newton's aversion to him, I don't know whether that was on purpose or not, that he doesn't want to throw to him because he was open a few times, and also his blocking, it wasn't good. But at least he's getting on the field, so maybe he might actually touch a ball in one of the coming weeks.
Cam Newton, he was my third. He just was ordinary, if that. I mean, that's about as pedestrian as it gets for an NFL quarterback. You know, I can remember one scramble where I thought he made a play. And the rest of the time, I thought he was really, you could have really had anybody back there.
Okay, so those are your three up and three down. You want to weigh in on the Pats at this stage? You want to weigh in on this week's game? Last night's game, Kansas City, Baltimore, some meat on the bone there. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you next in our long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
So, you're a business that's thriving, but then... Oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Tyreek Hill is now in the backfield after shifting. Sprint on action. They shovel it into the sausage. Touchdown, Kansas City. An inside shovel pass. The sausage surprises the Ravens on a 5-yard touchdown shovel to the sausage, Anthony Sherman.
The old sausage surprise there, Murray.
That's quite a call.
No. They shoveled it right in there.
Yeah. Touchdown. Kansas City, an inside shovel pass. The sausage surprises the Ravens.
I'm sure that it
sounded
did.
Like a Maz call.
Yeah. Never want to get surprised by that.
I kind of liked it.
Sprint on action. They shovel it into the sausage.
You want to know what's coming, frankly.
North Attleboro in the house with Sherman.
Is that guy from North Attleboro?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wouldn't you know it? The little white sausage there. I'll tell you, this Kansas City offense, the thing that struck out to me last night is still all the effing bells and whistles.
Yeah, the movement.
With Andy Reid, it's like, dude, you've got the best quarterback, the best receivers, the best tight end, and now a really good running back, why do you need to send this guy here, that guy there, motion him there, reverse him over there, fake left, fake right, throw middle, bring him back, tight end eligible, shovel pass to the sausage, double reverse screen in the middle. Like, do you notice all the like faking and twisting around that they do on that offense?
So much of it, I wonder, is that even legal? And do the refs even know? And they're like, nah, where the hell with it?
It's got to be legal. It's got to be.
I'm telling you, if you just stepped him back 5 steps and ran the hill on a deep post, it's going to be open a lot of times because no one can catch him and everyone else is so good. Like, all this twisting and turning and flipping around and shoveling the sausage on the deep reverse. Like, what are they doing all that stuff?
There was one play last night. It's so funny you said this. There was one play last night where I felt like there were 6 guys moving and they got 2 yards on it.
We're going to motion this guy back here, send this guy over here. We're going to fake left, fake right, throw middle, and then we're going to take the sausage and send him right up the middle. And second and 6.
I like the shovel sausage play. I love that little underhand flip. That was awesome.
I'm shocked by this, Mass. I'm shocked that you like that.
I did. I loved it. I hope that's a spicy sausage.
I don't know. It's like you had the best tight end in the game and the best receiver in the game and a couple of receivers that no one can catch. And this rookie running back's tremendous. And the best quarterback in the league. And you're just like dancing around all these trick plays. It's like, God, line up and just run the play.
And it's like synchronized swimming with that team. It's unreal.
Anyway,
they're saving the eggplant play for the Patriots.
Back to your phone, 617-779-0985. Brian in the car. Go ahead, Brian, on last night.
Yeah, as much as, you know, I thought Jackson obviously struggled and earned the criticism today, I just thought the Ravens coaching staff bailed on the run way too early in that game. There was a sequence after the Ravens returned the kick to make it 13-10 where they forced a 3-and-out. And on the very next possession, they threw the ball on all 3 downs and gave the ball back to the Chiefs in like 30 seconds. And next thing you know, it's 20-10. And they basically just never adjusted their philosophy from that point forward.
Okay, so they didn't run enough. A team that threw for 97 yards in the air didn't run enough.
See, but I think they are intent on proving to the league that they can throw. I do think there is some of that. And what I would say to the Ravens is, if your strength is running Jackson and you can score like you did last year, just keep running. Keep running. But like, you can gain, you know, he can gain 15 yards on a run just as easy as he can throw it. Just do that.
Michael in Salem has a thought. Go ahead, Michael.
So I wanted to first talk about Sonny Michel. I haven't really heard what people have been saying over the last couple of days, but I just wanted to say, don't overreact to this past week. That guy still sucks and blows, and I want people to keep it in their metaphorical pants as regards to Sonny Michel. And I also have a bone to pick with the Doughboy, and I'm not talking about Nikhil Harry. I'm talking about Mr. Greg Bedard. Love you, mean it. I heard what you said last week about Kyle Duggar. I also want you to keep it in your pants for him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think he's played bad, but I don't think he's been great. I just want you to keep it in your pants just a little bit.
Okay, Mike, good call. We're all just going to keep the shovel pass to the sausage, right in its holster. Two things I want your opinion on, Greg. Sonny Michel, one.
He did look better in this game. You know, everybody gets on him about the first two runs. The first two runs weren't his fault. Izzo blew a block, Asiasi blew a block in the first two. Everybody wants to bury him. I do think he ran harder, and he certainly had more vision and cutback ability. I thought the first run that really got him going, Illuminor blocked like 8 different people on that play, including he blocked 2 people at the same time. And so he was really the key to that play. Sony did make a nice cutback. He did that later too, and he ran harder. So it was better, but it needs to be more consistent.
How do you feel about him as a player?
Same. He's always been the same player.
What does that mean? Same as what?
He gets what's blocked, pretty much, and that's it. He's a good, solid player, not a first-round pick, not a difference maker, and I can't wait to see Damian Harris on the field.
Don't you love that expression? He gets what's blocked. That's an insult, really.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, like, you can find any hammerhead to do that.
So last week he didn't, though. Last week I think he took more.
Yeah, I agree. He was better. But again, I had to go back 13 games last year before I found one that I would say he played well in. It was the Washington game, I think. And so what, you get 1 or 2 a year? That's enough? Like, no, it's not. Sorry.
Kyle Duggar, you still on the Kyle Duggar train?
Yeah, this was just a different game. I am excited. I didn't say like tomorrow he's going to beat Jamal Adams, but just in terms of what he brings to the field, they used him to blitz all the time against Seattle, which is what Seattle does with Jamal Adams. He did not blitz in this game. The Patriots only blitzed twice in the whole game. They just waited for Derek Carr to vomit on himself, which he did repeatedly. And so Duggar, it just wasn't a Duggar game, and that's fine. He's a mismatch type of guy, game plan, bring him on blitzes, be aggressive. We'll see how much of a role he has in the game plan against the Chiefs.
So listen, this is what I said yesterday. I think it's really important for this team this year to identify and have emerge a group of young defensive players. Young players all over the place, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to just limit it to the defense, but, you know, maybe for the sake of this segment, just limit it to the defense. To come out of this year, Greg, and say, well, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, we've got this guy, that guy, this guy, and that guy. And is that starting to emerge? Is that starting to happen? And you tell me, like, who are those guys? You know, Winovich, Duggar, J.C. Jackson, like, are we starting there to build
that's about it.
Oh, that's it, though?
That's about it right now, and I'm not even sure that Winovich's best position is where he for his career is where he is right now.
What position would
he could be an inside linebacker at some point.
Say what? He's not just a pure edge player? That's like, you know, what, a poor man's Clay Matthews?
Yeah.
Am I just deluded by the
I think he is Clay Matthews.
Okay, that's an outside linebacker. That's an outside pass.
Clay Matthews also went inside and was a damn good inside linebacker later in his career. So I don't know. It all depends on what the Patriots have. But they need – right now they have – Winovich can stay on the edge. That's where he is right now. He's a good edge linebacker. They have Duggar, who should be a good strong safety at some point, a very good strong safety. And they have J.C. Jackson, who's a very good corner. They need people in the middle. They need to find – they're Chris Jones in the middle. They need to find a Mike linebacker who's dynamic. You get those two pieces, then the other pieces on the defense, you can sort of fit those.
Okay, so you're not high on Juwan Williams and what he's done so far?
He's fine, but there's nothing to indicate right now that he's going to be anything more than a role player who covers tight ends. I mean, what's his position? They don't think it's cornerback, and I don't think it's safety, so... Right now, he looks like a matchup guy. Could be more. I don't know. It depends on, you know, if Belichick ever decides to not stock his roster with veterans and let young guys play. God forbid, if it wasn't for Aqib Talib saying no, we wouldn't know what Juwan Williams is at this point.
But you don't think he's much.
I don't know. He's fine. What he's doing, he's a good matchup guy for tight ends. Beyond that, I have no idea.
Okay, so again, we're working on a list. I want a list. Right now,
it's three people:
Duggar, Winovich, yep. Jackson. So, Juwan Williams doesn't hit that list. Wise or Dedrick Wise or Rivers? Are those not even considered young players anymore? Or no, they're just not.
Both.
So they're not young, and they're not going to be particularly impactful.
Yeah, they're good. They're good, solid players. That's it.
Okay, role guys. Cowart. I mean, again, I'm just reaching. I'm just trying to find, you know, young guys that show up a little bit when I watch these games. Cowart.
There's a lot of hope for him internally. But he's a little small and he's very inconsistent. He will kick somebody's ass on one play and then just look forgettable in the next one.
Okay, Shalik Calhoun has actually been around a while. He's new to us, but he's like 20. I looked it up because I couldn't remember where they got the guy. He's made a few plays, but he's not exactly. I think he's 28, right, or something like
that.
He's
old.
He's been around a while. So this thing about, you know, building a young defense, they're not there yet, Greg.
No, they have a couple really nice pieces and pieces that I'm excited about, but they need to start stacking these drafts over and over because they didn't completely whiff, but they had a rough go there for a while.
And if we're just, you know, expanding it now to offense defense, you know, the Kajust and Froholt thing, you know, have they been passed by Owenu, the rookie? Is it already looking like those two offensive linemen are nothing?
Kajust had a really rough training camp, and he's a complete project. He's getting another redshirt year on this roster. Froholt, that he got passed over for Tooney at center and Owenu at guard, it's not a good sign. Obviously, Owenu's ahead of him.
Okay, well, last one. How's Isaiah Wynn looked?
Good. Yeah, good, solid. The thing is he's an undersized tackle, so you always worry about the longevity and the injury with those guys, because it's a It's a big man position traditionally, and the smaller guys don't traditionally last very long.
I just think this is an important topic.
Sure it is. Yeah, you know, of course it is.
It's not the sexiest, but they've been the oldest team in the league. The drafts have blown. You know, the young depth on the roster, it just doesn't feel like it's been there. They've got – some of these guys have got to start latching. You know, they got to start latching on and building on them, and as Greg sort of mentioned, stacking them.
And how about playing them? Like, at some point – and this was my argument last year when I sort of ripped Bill at the roster deadline where he didn't trade some of the players, some of the guys who left this offseason – including like a guy like Harmon, like play some of the kids. Like look at the Aqib Talib, Juwan Williams thing. If it was up to Bill, he would have spent another $6 million and played a broken down Aqib Talib instead of letting your third round pick Juwan Williams play. See what the kid can do.
Hard to chase Shula with kids.
I was just going to say, is that Shula on his mind?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he can't bring himself to suck for a little bit to get better in the line. I don't think he can do it that
way. You know what? And I don't blame him either. But you know what? Win with a kid. Yeah, I mean, you can do that too. I mean, you can.
Well, you can when you have Brady as your quarterback.
Well, let's see. So Cam Newton coming off his worst day as a Patriot. Greg gave him a really bad grade. What was up with Cam Newton? And we have another question. A big picture Patriots question as we come back next hour. First, Big Jim Murray's update. It takes 90 seconds. There's no commercials. There was breaking news across the NFL today, and it feels like games and the schedule are starting to be imperiled or in jeopardy here because of COVID. The very latest with Big Jim, we come back and discuss.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.